Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fun. Doing a lot of new things that I haven't gotten to do, and I got a lot of opportunities to do that, and with here now, new offense, it's been a blast, and Josh has done an exceptional job. You know, you never know how a young quarterback is going to be when you get there, but really impressed with his leadership and just his poise in the huddle, and it's been awesome playing with him.
It's Cole Beasley. I saw the Bills were wearing, it's golf polo season, Brayton. I'm not wearing one today, which is unfortunate, but Bills tweeted out their pictures getting on the plane heading to Carolina. And wasn't suits for the players. You know, it's hot out. Get some breathable golf polo. Saw Tremaine Edmonds in a real sharp Bills polo.
Joint practices are usually like business casual sort of thing.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, people don't really realize this, but we've had joint practices with Star 102.5 in the offseason. We all just get together.
Yep, we have joint practices with WBEN all the time.
Yeah, we talk about sports, and then Star plays a train song. We talk about sports, and then WBEN. Well, anyway. It's 7:08. Good morning. Howard's off today. Ooh. I almost texted him last night.
What, were you going to get him to pick the Bills?
No. But, let's put this out there before we get back to our Twitter poll about whether or not the Bills have done enough around Josh Allen. And some responses I've got to that. As you know, he and I are in a never-ending battle to have the biggest thing happen while we're not here.
Mm-hmm.
And I have taken that title a few times. Two vacations in a row, basically. The Sabres fired a coach and then hired a coach.
Yep.
He's been gone for big stuff. He tends to leave on, you know, free agency day.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't here when they traded O'Reilly, I think. He wasn't here for Mario Williams. He takes the start of league years off. It's a little bit of a loophole. But whatever. I won't get him up for that. So I mentioned to him, and I said, hey, you know, or I didn't mention. I was going to call and mention, like, big things happen when you go on vacation. We got a couple things we're waiting for. One, a Sabres move. Two, Jadeveon Clowney. You've got Houston writers over and over and over again saying they expect this guy to be traded. And Brian Gain, who worked for the Texans, works for the Bills again. And there was a writer down there, a sports radio guy in Houston, that maybe 3 weeks ago said, don't be surprised if Jadeveon Clowney gets traded to the Bills. I'm going to sit here and tell you, I will be surprised if that happens, no matter what. Even with all these rumors, I will still be surprised. But he's going to require a big contract. The Bills will have the money to pay that big contract. They'll have the cap room. Will they want to add Jadeveon Clowney to this defense? And Howard not being here means that it's kind of like sound the alarm, raise the flags. This is a big news watch, you know, not quite a, what happens first, the watch or the warning? You live down in the hinterlands where they do tornado watches and stuff. What's first, the watch or the warning? The watch. The watch is yellow, the warning is red.
Most oftentimes, it is the watch that comes up, but then every once in a while, you get a nice pop-up storm or something like that, and there's no time for a watch. You just have to issue the warning and go with it.
A watch comes first. Yeah. So we're on the watch.
Yeah, sure.
It's Clowney watch. Howard's on vacation. Welcome to Clowney watch.
We're also in Rasmus Ristolainen watch. We've been in that watch, though, forever.
Yeah. The warning on Ristolainen is that he returns to the team at this point. We're on both Risto watches. Risto return and Risto gets dealt. So, you know, Howard's not here. I'm just putting that out there. We've got a lot to get to today. We've got Sal coming up at 8. We've got Brian Daboll at 8:45. We'll carry his press conference. Brian Baldinger at 9. And then Sal from the practice field in Carolina.
By the way, before we jump back into the discussion, just want to remind you that the Friday golf foursome with you is back in action. They're at Holiday Valley Double Black Diamond Golf Course.
That's this week's contest.
Yep.
I want to say this might be the last one.
I think it is, yes.
Okay.
I think you're correct.
So you go to our website and you register and you can golf with me, which I can't promise you how good that's going to be.
Yep. Well,
I can tell you about my golf injury that I think I have sustained. I think I have a golf injury.
Oh.
I think I have a golf injury.
Mm, we'll have to chat about that later.
Yeah.
So be sure to
tell you how proud I am to say I think I have a golf injury.
So be sure to go to WGR550.com for your chance to win a round of golf for you and two friends with Jeremy. Again, this week's giveaway is for the Holiday Valley Double Black Diamond Golf Course, along with a prize pack from Michelob Ultra. You'll get a cart and use during play and lunch as well. You have until noon tomorrow to enter at WGR550.com.
All right. Yeah, enter. I think this is the last one. I've got a few to catch up on. We've got some, I've got golf, a lot of golf planned in the next couple weeks, which is going to be difficult with my golf injury. I'll tell you about that next segment. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. All right, the question, the Twitter poll. Have the Bills done enough around Josh Allen to support his skill set and fully evaluate whether or not he's the guy? Basically, like, let's talk about this before the season. Last year at this time, we all, not all of us, but I think the general consensus was there's not a lot of help on that offense. This team is going to be bad offensively. They're going to hope to run the ball with McCoy. They couldn't. Their receivers, you know, Robert Foster, who was maybe their most dynamic receiver, wasn't even on the team the full year. Their leading receiver was Zay Jones, who's proven to be okay. Tight end was Charles Clay. You know, like, nothing. The line was not good. So last year at this time it was, we know they don't have enough on offense. 803-0550. Tell me what you think right now before the season. It's kind of like a little mini preseason pledge. Do they have enough for you to see whether or not Josh Allen has it, whether or not Josh Allen can be the guy, in finger quotes? And I do think that there are spin-off questions to this, of course, but just on the yes or no, have they done enough to support him to evaluate him? I voted yes. I think the answer is yes, especially with the amount that they've put into the offensive line. And I guess what it gets to is, if the line doesn't come together and isn't good enough for Allen, then one of two things happens there. Either the Bills have misjudged what happened, they've misjudged the players, or Allen can't adequately use all those pieces to take the next step. But I do think that there is enough in place for him to do that, for sure. And a lot of the follow-up comments, I want to read you a couple here, because a couple points about this that I think are interesting. I retweeted two comments that said no. No, they've not done enough yet. And I, like I said, there are a lot of different ways and reasons you might vote yes or no. Tyrell wrote in, I voted no. There's an upgrade from last year's receivers, but it's not like any of them are top tier. At least give them a top 30 target in the league, which I agree with. I mean, I've been banging the drum for a good receiver for a while, probably since they traded away Sammy Watkins, although, I mean, technically I was also kind of upset with how they went about getting Watkins, but whatever. I've been wanting them to get a receiver, a top tier guy. But this ultimately gets down to what your goals are. And, you know, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago that I think we have, and I'm not trying to group everybody together. I'm not trying to say I'm the only one that sees it like this. Just I get this sense because I see a lot of the responses to what the Bills and Sabres are doing. And I'll just keep it to the Bills here, which is, This tweet from Justin that I've got. It says, as McBean have been saying, it's a process. It can't and won't be built overnight. Compare the team he has now to the team he had last year. Vastly better. They will continue to add pieces, and we will continue to grow, but he should definitely take a leap forward this year. He goes on to say, if we can get off to a good start and build confidence, we have seen 9 wins, get into the playoffs sometimes, but steps in the right direction is what matters. And I understand that. I get that. If they have a 9-win season, I don't think too many people are going to be mad. It depends when that 7th loss comes. You know, if it's the last game of the season to the Jets with a chance to make the playoffs, people are mad. If it's they lose their 7th game in week 12 and then run the table to just miss, you know, that's a little bit different. But steps in the right direction. If I could on steps. The thing about steps in the right direction
is that you only know they're steps in the right direction after you've actually got to your destination. You don't know that they're steps in the right direction. The number of teams that think they're taking steps in the right direction and then just go elsewhere, you know? If you're constantly pointing to steps, which I think the Bills have been doing and the Sabres have been doing, not necessarily with the current managements, but go back to Chan Gailey or Dick Geron or Doug Marone. You know, it was always a lot of, are they taking steps in the right direction? And by the time you get to that third year or fourth year, the guy's gone and you're starting over again. Whether or not Tim Murray was taking steps in the right direction. You know, like you define steps by where you end. And if this team wins 9 games, you can say they're taking steps in the right direction. And then if the following year, the schedule's a little tougher, somebody gets hurt and they win 8 games, I mean, so far, you know, where are your steps? Sometimes your direction ends up being circular and you just kind of spin your wheels. So, you know, steps in the right direction, it's a nice thing to talk about, but I think we end up defining steps in the right direction by where you end up. The Rams are a great example of this. They didn't take any steps. They went hire coach, are good. You know, then their steps have been get to the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl. Maybe they go back. Maybe they never do. The Bears went to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman. I'm sure there would have been people saying steps in the right direction. It's about really winning. And, you know, getting to a Super Bowl is actually really winning on some level. And, you know, you lose that Super Bowl. That's tough. So I'm not necessarily trying to hold it to the only success is winning a Super Bowl, but just that I hear steps in the right direction from a lot of teams. There are 32 teams that will start this season, and how many of them will judge themselves off of their own season last year? The bad ones will. The good ones will be looking to win more games because they already won games and they're shooting for the top prize. Right? I understand it. There are things along the way. You want to have growth. Sean McDermott, I think, has done a nice job of establishing the way that he runs a team. You know, I don't always agree with everything he does, but I don't think there's any doubt what he wants to build, he has built. And now it comes to, can they win with it? And it is one of the things that I wouldn't say it makes me nervous about the way McDermott talks, because I think now that we're in year three, I can kind of get to understanding the kind of guy that he is publicly. I don't know him personally or privately, but publicly, I get it. He doesn't often throw his players under the bus. He doesn't often put up bulletin board material. You know, ask him about expectations this year. He'll talk about making steps, taking steps, trust in the process. Brandon Bean on the pregame with Matt Bove for the Colts game said, at the end of the year, we want to be trending up. Well, that's the thing. Like, look at the stock market. There are days it goes up and there are days it goes down. And if you want a good look as to what it's doing, you have to zoom out far enough to see over time where it is. 1 year up, 1 year down, are you really trending up? So that kind of talk sometimes does make me nervous. I'm already nervous about the Sabres this year. Is Jason Bottrell going to have another year where just being better than last year is a sign of success? Because it's not. You know, it's about really winning. And that's where I get to this season for the Bills and get to be a little bit excited about expectations. Because there are enough fans of this team that are ready to say, yeah, the playoffs are a step. It's year three for this GM, for this coach. They cleared the cap. They spent their money. They've had their draft picks. They've traded up. They've identified their players. The pieces are in place. The schedule looks nice. Tom Brady is older than dirt. Okay, like why not this year have a season where you're in the playoffs? And that the Bills have made it 2 out of 3 years, like that's a pretty good little stretch there for a mini bar to clear. First was ending the drought. Next is being a good team. Been a while since this team was a good team by league standards. By their own standards, the drought ender was good. And 2 years before that, they were kind of okay. You know, they've been 9-7 before. So I just get nervous when I see trending up, taking steps. That is the language of teams that have a long way to go. Once you're a playoff team, you talk about titles, division, AFC, championship. The good teams talk about those steps. Those are actual podiums that you step onto. Steps in the right direction, it's tough because we all get to define our own. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The question at our web poll, have the Bills done enough around Josh Allen to support his skill set and to fully evaluate whether or not he's the guy? 59% saying yes, 41% saying no, not yet. And I do understand there's a lot baked into all that stuff. You could say not yet because it's too soon, because year two you can't really understand. But expectations are up on Jackson, Darnold, Allen, Mayfield. They all have heightened expectations. They're all different. I mean, Baker Mayfield's expectations have to be for 30-plus touchdowns. Sam Darnold's are for the Jets to be about, I would say Darnold and Allen probably have the same level of internal expectation, right? Be good. Be good enough. Be a difference maker for this team. Get this team to the playoffs. The Jets think they're finishing in second place in the division. The odds are, if you go by the betting odds, the Jets are the pick to finish second in the division. And the Bills are the pick to finish third. But get 10 Jets fans in a room and 10 Bills fans in a room and have them argue about who's going to finish second. I mean, it's going to be a healthy debate, because that's what you're fighting for. Fourth belongs to Miami. First belongs to New England until further notice. And the second place team has a shot to make the playoffs, and the third place team doesn't. So be better than the Jets. It's why that opener is just so perfect. Love the opener. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. It's definitely fantasy football draft season. I have a bunch of drafts I'm booking. Every time I talk about the Guillotine League, Brayton, I don't know if you get this too. Every time we mention the Guillotine League, people write in and want to know more about it because they're not in one yet. So we have one. We did one last year, and the draft order has not yet been determined. But I'll say that you think your regular league, first off, snake drafts are tough. I don't like snake drafts at all anymore. Once you switch to auction, you don't go snake drafts. But the Mike Schoep Guillotine League, there are 17 people in it. And the draft order is not yet determined. But if you go to our website, it lists the draft order, even though that's not the official draft order. And I checked it, and I was 17th. And I thought, oh, you want to talk about pressure. You want to talk about there's picking last, which you kind of like because you get, you know, the 10th and the 11th pick or the 12th and the 13th pick when it swings back through. And if you're in a season-long standard fantasy league, all right, cool. Picking last in a snake draft in Guillotine, it's like you're drafting with your head on the block in the Guillotine. Like, oh, my God, 17th. 16 players are gone before I pick one, and I got to pick, you know, you blow that pick, you're out week one. It is pressure, absolute pressure, not to be gone in week one. It's like picking your March Madness bracket and having your team lose to a 16 seed. You know, you just got to make sure you get out of the opening weekend. Survive in advance. That's what the Guillotine League is all about.
I'm disappointed that Howard's not going to be in the morning show Guillotine League just because I really wanted to see how his auto-drafted team is going to fare.
Yeah. Unless somebody else fails to show up. We have our league full if somebody fails to show up. I've also changed the name of the league to the No Hose League.
No Hose League.
H-O-S-E. No Hose. It's a No Hose League. If you're a new listener to this show, his nickname has been Hose for about 15 years, but we stopped using it. We're going back to it. So the No Hose League. It's not about it's about the nickname, I promise. It really is.
I have his nickname in one of our opens.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
803-0550. Looking for big news today. And 1-888-550-2550. When we get back, I'll tell you about my golf injury a little bit. Sal Capaccio at 8 o'clock, and a lot of football along the way. Sal from the practice field at 9:30. We'll get a recap of the first day's practice. And I want to get to I mentioned this. When we get back, I'll also do this. The comparisons, Josh Allen and Cam Newton. One thing I like about that comparison and one thing I don't like about that next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good awful a lot of benefits. Number one is going against a good team in the Panthers and an organization and a staff that's been together for a long time. And at this point in camp, guys get a little bit tired of, you know, seeing the same guy across the line of scrimmage. So it offers a change of scenery and for us really a chance to get in front of a different system and scheme and to develop again as an overall football team.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, the story from joint practices. Really proud of everyone. There have not been a lot of joint practice jokes. You've all managed to not do that. Joint practice, Carolina, 9:15 this morning. We've got a press conference from Brian Daboll. We'll hear from the Bills offensive coordinator at 8:45. Sal Capaccio in a half hour. Story from yesterday's camp. The offense did all right. Cole Beasley and Josh Allen looking like they've got some chemistry and hooking things up. If the early story was John Brown, now it's Cole Beasley. So they've each had their time in the sun with training camp. This, of course, what the joint practice is. And Sal Capaccio at our website has a full rundown of how things went. Mitch Morse still in concussion protocol, but things are looking better for him. He was wearing a red non-contact jersey. Did not take part in team drills, but a step forward for Mitch Morse, so that's good news. I would keep him out of this week's practices, and he's wearing pads too, Morse was. Out of all practices this week and out of the preseason game, I might keep him out the rest of the preseason, whatever you got to do. So it went Dawkins, Spain, Feliciano, Cody Ford, and Ty Ensekhe left to right. There was one drill I saw of the Panthers' right side of their defensive line. Whatever. They were going on the Bills' right side of the line, Ford and Ensekhe, who are both giant. And we'll see how that plays out. They're huge, those two over there. But can they get beaten with speed? And there was one play where the two of them appeared to be crossed up, and Gerald McCoy, who is now with the Carolina Panthers, he got in the backfield along with their edge rusher at the time, so kind of lit them up. Ed Oliver still starting with the ones. LeSean McCoy started at running back. Allen and Beasley had their success. And on the deep balls, a lot of misses. Some drops from Tommy Sweeney and John Brown, and an overthrow on a corner route to Robert Foster. And, of course, another story, just how many Bills fans showed up at this Carolina practice, this joint practice in South Carolina, which, it's pretty close to Charlotte where they are, and we know there are a lot of Buffalo transplants that are in the Charlotte area. So those are your headlines. Next update on the way, coming up at the top of the hour. So I mentioned the Josh Allen to Cam Newton comparisons. There's some things that I like about this and some things that I don't like about this comparison. And first off, I'll start by saying that I've come to not like player comparisons at all. They make me nervous because I think they reveal your bias going in. If you make a comparison that any player, pick a quarterback this year, Tua Tagovailoa, right? Oh, he reminds me of blank. If you fill in the blank with a good player, you're telling me you think he's going to be good. If you fill in the blank with a bad player, you tell me you think he's going to be bad. That's really what it comes down to. To me, more often than not, comparisons come down to predictions. Right? When the Browns are going to draft Baker Mayfield, there are all these, oh, he reminds me of Johnny Manziel. He's another Johnny Manziel. He's nothing like Johnny Manziel other than he's short and has an attitude. But that doesn't matter. Is he good or not? If you compare Baker Mayfield to Johnny Manziel, you predict failure. You're not making a comparison. You're making a prediction. Kyler Murray reminds me of Baker. Okay, you're predicting success. There are other short quarterbacks. There are lots of things. Player comparisons can be a big-time trap. And one thing, I like to quote this guy a lot, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, Daryl Morey. Really smart, really bright GM. He doesn't allow his staff to do player comparisons. And particularly within the NBA, they're not allowed to do comparisons of players of the same race. So with Josh Allen and Cam Newton, you are doing a cross-race comparison because what can happen in the NBA and probably in the NFL, right, you'll see it all the time, lazy analysis. Oh, so-and-so reminds me of Jamarcus Russell because they were both black quarterbacks. Like, that's lazy. One guy is mobile. The other guy isn't mobile. Comparisons often are laziness and a way to get to your prediction. So why are Cam Newton and Josh Allen alike? Their body size, their arm. After that, what have I got?
I've got a former first round, first overall pick, won the Heisman, won the national championship, was the best player in college football versus a guy that went to a smaller school in a smaller conference and didn't do that. He was a high pick. He's got a lot of raw tools. Cam Newton. Brad tweeted to me that the Cam process, you know, they need guys around him, a guy that can separate, a quarterback guru. What the Bills are doing is following the Cam process. Cam Newton, in his rookie season, set the NFL rookie record for passing yards. That's not the same as Josh Allen, right? Are there parts of their game, are there tools that they have that are similar? Yes. But the comparisons should not be made by an unbiased observer. If you're comparing Allen to, I think he's a lot like Cam Newton, just tell me you predict that he's going to be that good. But Newton himself has had his ups and downs. You know, if I put Cam Newton's season by season in a grab bag and you pulled him out, you would get wildly different results. And he's battled injuries. He's taken a beating. It's one of the big stories about Newton through his time is, right, he gets in the argument with officials. He's the one that says that he's not getting calls, that a big quarterback that runs isn't protected the same way that a guy that might be in the pocket. Newton's had seasons of 35 and 10 touchdowns to interceptions. That was in between seasons of 18 touchdowns and 19 touchdowns. He's had 4,000 yards in his first season, right? His first season was his only 4,000-yard passing season. So Newton is an interesting one. Would you take Allen turning into Cam Newton? Yeah. But I wonder about Carolina. Do they at some point even ask for him to be more than he has been? Cam Newton has 182 touchdown passes to 107 interceptions. That's pretty good. His quarterback rating, if you like that, is an 86 for his career. 86, how good is that? You know, and what am I getting? I'm getting a guy that gets sacked an awful lot, but that can make plays with his feet, that can make all the throws, that has sometimes had the supporting cast and sometimes not had the supporting cast. He won an NFL MVP when he threw for 35 touchdowns and 10 interceptions and took that team to the Super Bowl. So, you know, the comparisons are there because of size and arm strength, and they kind of end there for me. Style of play, I mean, Newton does, in his first season, how much did Cam Newton run the football? Did he have as many rushing attempts as Allen? He had 126 in his rookie season. You know, Newton in his rookie season ran for 706 yards. In his second season, ran for 741. So I do understand the comparisons when it comes to mobility, size, arm strength. But from a results standpoint, Allen's got a long way to go. Allen had 89 rushes in his first season, but for nearly as many yards. So you wonder how much he can get away with. Boy, Josh Allen ran for 52 yards per game last year. Like, what kind of numbers is he going to put up this year on the ground? There's no doubt the Bills are going to try to limit that and not expose him to the kind of hits that Newton has been exposed to. And Cam's had shoulder issues most of last year, lingering into this year. And, I mean, is that a cautionary tale, what has happened with Cam Newton? Because he's been a prolific passer, not one of the best, but pretty good. And he's been banged up quite a bit. So I like the comparison on some levels, and I don't like it on others. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I mentioned I wanted to get to this. Dominic Foxworth is with Mina Kimes in this clip. And I just think it's worth hearing, and I just want to play it because I just want to pass it along to you. I heard it this morning, and I liked it. I liked what he had to say. It's a completely objective outside view of training camps and what happens at training camps and when new coaches come in. What generally happens, and why the CBA works the way that it does. So one of the things you'll hear this time of year is that older players will say, you guys have it so easy. You never could have handled what happened to us at training camp. And that might be true, that there's a point to make in there how camps used to be tough and used to be a lot more grueling. So Dominic Foxworth on this exact idea, it was about the Browns to start, but he makes a general point about tough practices
and tough coaches trying to prove a point.
This is new coach BS. That's what they always do. All new coaches come in and they think, we're going to make you tough. You know what? You're in the NFL. You're already tough. You're not going to make these grown men any tougher by making them hard practice. And I also find this laughable because, as you know, I was a part of the CBA negotiations, and Jeff Saturday and I made a point to eliminate this new coach nonsense. He can't implement any more padded practices than we allowed. There's only one a day. It can be at max 3 hours. And then after that, you have a walkthrough. And through the regular season, you are limited by 14 padded practices. In part because coaches like this think that they can outwork other teams, and that's going to mean that they win. And then other coaches think that they're getting outworked. So it just becomes this endless cycle of players getting hurt and getting more hits unnecessarily when we're not making any money off of it. The reason why this situation is perfect is because it's a limited amount of time. Each coach has the same amount of time with their players. So you know what? Be more efficient. You can't outwork another team by running your players in the ground. Just be a better coach.
Dominique Foxworth. Joe Thomas, formerly of the Browns, said the same thing a while back, which was, I mean, Joe Thomas spent his Hall of Fame career playing for the Browns, his soon-to-be Hall of Fame career, and going through a number of coaches, and said the same thing tends to happen every time. You get a new coach, he walks in and tells everybody in the room that they've never worked hard before, and now you're going to start working hard. And it's just, there's Dominique Foxworth backing it up. Like, oh, now we're going to work hard. That was the problem before. Nobody here worked hard. You know, it's part of a lot of football culture, and at the pro level, you know, why are camps lighter? Why are camps easier than they are before, than they have been in years past? Because, as he said, it was an arms race of working hard, and they collectively bargained to, well, let me dial this back. The season matters, you know? The season matters. Be more efficient. Be a better coach, not a harder coach. And I just like that. It makes a lot of sense to me. Work smarter, not harder. You know, you hope your football team has the kind of coach that can work smarter, not harder. And Foxworth laid that out for the Browns, who are very much a trendy pick this year. But again, by the time we get to week 10, no one's going to talk about, well, you know, we saw this in training camp. This team worked harder than that team. It just doesn't happen that way. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. It is WGR. You can give us a call. Sal Capaccio with a full recap of what happened at yesterday's joint practice from Carolina. Top of the hour. Wine or Line on the way next on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Just want to remind everyone of the Hamburg Overhead Doors Ugliest Garage Door Contest. The finalists are in, so go to WGR550.com and cast your vote for the worst one by this Saturday. So, or also you can text DOOR to 550-550 to get the link to vote sent to you to your phone. Message and data rates, of course, they may apply. Your vote enters you for a chance to win a LiftMaster Garage Door Opener. So again, go vote for the finalists at the Hamburg Overhead Doors Ugliest Garage Door Contest.
All right. Bisons are home tonight, 7:05.
That they are,
tomorrow's
yes.
Their last matinee. And, go out and see some baseball. There's a story, NHL.com, that the Seattle hockey team, the Seattle expansion team, is going to have a nickname before they have a coach.
Ooh, all right.
Nickname expected early 2020.
Oh, it can't be sooner.
Timeline for hire of a coach could stretch into next June. Ron Francis is their GM. The expansion team is likely to have a nickname before it has a coach, according to GM. There's a meeting every week on it. The plan is, he's saying this on the nickname. Every week they meet about the nickname. The plan is to have a name as we get early into 2020. So they'll hire a coach between January and June. My advice, wait for a good coach to have a bad stretch, get fired, and then hire that guy. You know, that's one way to do it. So they're going to hire a coach sometime before the draft. And on the team name, they have reached out to Vegas. You know, what did you do? How did you do this? The expansion draft is something they have to think about. Same rules. The bad news is hopefully the teams have gotten smarter since what Vegas happened with Vegas. But the team name by 2020, anything but the Kraken. Anything is better than the Kraken.
They should be the Metropolitans.
But then people will call them the Mets or the Metros. And the Metro is not a division anymore, is it? No, there's the Atlanta. No,
well, the Metropolitan division.
It's the Metro?
Yeah, but, I mean, go back to the really old days.
I know.
Metropolitans were the first team to win the Stanley Cup.
I like that idea. I just, the Vegas Golden Knights couldn't be the Knights because of the London Knights. They couldn't be the Black Knights because of the Blackhawks. So they just settled with the Golden Knights. Are they really going to let the Seattle Mets exist while the Mets, the Metropolitans, do exist?
I would call them the Metropolitans every time.
You would not.
Yes, I would.
You can't do that. You don't call them the Knickerbockers, right? The Knicks. There's no way they would call them the Metropolitans every time. Too many syllables. We don't have time for that. I like the name. I like the logo mock-ups I've seen for the Metropolitans. I like it. Again, it's better than Kraken. I just don't know if it'll be allowed. Sockeyes would be fun, right? For sockeye salmon, people would call them, most definitely, the Sox, 100%. Sometimes you
that would be bad.
Well, you just can't avoid this. It's like you know, people that have a kid, the kid's going to get a nickname. Some people hate that and try to find a name that can't be nicknamed, but you can't escape it. People are just going to – they're going to shorten your name. They're going to call you something else, you know, right down to – I don't know. Anybody ever called you anything shorter than Brayton in your life? B? Bray?
Yeah. I've gotten it a few times.
Like, your nickname isn't exactly the most normal shortened nickname, but people still do it anyway.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So, I think it's just tough. If you're going to go Metropolitans, you're going to be called the Mets, and I don't know if they'll allow that. What else is out there? Sockeyes?
Sockeyes.
Howard always
Kraken.
Says, we've got to say Howard. He likes fish throwers. How about fish cannons? You seen that video that's been going around
lately?
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Google fish cannon. It sends salmon up a river over dams and
rockets
them into a different body of water.
Yeah, I saw that. That is really, really cool. Hold on. I'm looking up the NHL nicknames for Seattle. I'm now too tied up on it. The Totems is another possible nickname for them. I think that would be okay. Let's see here. The Renegades.
No.
Evergreens, Seals, Sea Lions, Emeralds, Rainiers, Whales, Firebirds, Cougars, Eagles. Just a few.
Yeah. Good luck to them.
Seattle coffee shops. I don't know.
Could you call them the, Sid writes in, can I call them the Metros? You might, but then you have a team and a division named the same thing.
I think the division name is stupid anyway.
I agree entirely.
I think division names are subject to change. They should be subject to change every year. Every year it should be a different name. I don't care. It could be the Gordie Howe division for the Atlantic, or then the next year it could be the Bobby Orr division. I could care less.
I mean, I'm convinced. Name it after the division winner from the previous year.
Sure.
This year we call it the Boston division.
Well, the Lightning won the division.
Right.
They won the regular season, though. So
the Seattle Sound. They wouldn't do that because they have the Seattle Sounders.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Corey tweets in the Sound. I mean, I don't mind it, but I think they would. The Sounders would say, no thanks, not allowed. Can't do that. 803-0550. The Seattle
little green bugs from that episode of the X-Files where they ate people in the forest, whatever those were called.
I don't know.
Never saw that episode?
No, I'm not too familiar.
Haunting. Haunting episode in the Pacific Northwest. Sal Capaccio joins me next. We'll get a rundown on what happened at practice on day one, the joint practice with Carolina, and they've got day two today leading into the preseason game, which will be Friday. The Bisons. There's only two Friday night bashes left. One of them is this Friday. So you can get down to Bisons.com for your tickets to the Bisons and the Toledo Mud Hens. Tonight, it is Wing Wednesday and a Wings logo tumbler giveaway to the first 2,000 fans through the Swan Street Gate. Friday is a Friday night bash with postgame fireworks. It's also hockey night at the ballpark. The Bisons will wear blue and gold hockey-style jerseys, game-worn jerseys, autographed and raffled off to benefit the Bisons and Buffalo Sabres foundations. Select jerseys are part of our Bisons.com jersey auction right now through to the end of today. So Rowdy Tellez, Anthony Elford, Coach Devon White, plus Hockey Night jerseys signed by Rasmus Dahlin and Jeff Skinner. You can bid on those at Bisons.com. There's going to be a Sabretooth appearance and Sabres alumni autograph session. Also this week, the Sabres have their Fan Fest downtown. You can get the blue and gold ale, which, man, did we have some fun with that yesterday. Twitter was all abuzz with the blue and gold ale. So lots of stuff going on downtown this weekend. Get down there, have some fun. We're running out of summer. It's almost. I was I tweeted over the weekend, Brayton, and I was out. We were at Canal Side this weekend, and a little hoodie and shorts combo. A little breeze off the lake, you know.
I saw your tweet on Saturday.
Not mad about hoodie and shorts.
I was down in Lime Lake for an evening, and I was not wearing a hoodie and shorts, but I had like a long sleeve kind of like sweater jacket sort of thing.
And it was just missing shorts. The hood?
Yeah, just missing the hood. That's all it was.
The hoodless hoodie.
Yeah.
One quick public service announcement on the upcoming season that follows the one that we're currently in. I'm not going to say anything too much about it, but I'm just going to say this. For those of us that do like fall, please understand, we didn't get one last year, okay? So before you come at us and tell us not to enjoy it and then it's not wonderful in every possible way, we didn't even have one last year. We're starving for fall. I'm not in a rush to get there. I'm enjoying my summer. Things are great. I'll wait until we get there. But please, lay off. Right? Everyone remembers last year, people said, oh, this is usually what fall is like. It rains every day. Those people, of course, are called liars.
They are. Yes.
They're liars, or they've never actually lived through a real, actual fall. We didn't get one last year, and those of us that live for fall are ready for one when it comes. I'm not in a rush, but I'm going to be excited. And that hoodie and shorts on Saturday got me that little taste. That's all I'm saying. 803-0550, Sal on the other side on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.